بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وخير الناصر ومعين. If we examine the very first verse of Surah Al-Jum'ah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending us a very clear message that not only do human beings do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also every other creation, every other sign, every other existence in this universe glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it says, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ, it's a sign for us, it's a message for us, that not only are we as human beings glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but every other existence, every other sign, from the sun to the moon to the trees to the grass, does the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, while there exist many different tafsirs of this ayat, one of them that has been explained very clearly by Mufassirin is that when each existence plays its role and treads its own path, it's doing the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, every morning that the sun rises and every night that the moon comes out, it is now treading the path of which Allah created it for, and thus doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the connection between doing the glorification of Allah and the love of Allah is also a connection that the Quran talks about, that of course is in our traditions. And this very logical transition between loving an entity and then glorifying that entity exists inside of us. And our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no different. As our love and our hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows, our glorification, our tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grows. And Allah understands that in order for us to understand the illat, we have to first understand the ma'alul. And when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, this is very clear. There are signs everywhere all around us that one cannot deny that there is an illat, there is a cause behind the existence of all of these ma'alulat. One of the areas where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to invoke or tries to create or tries to trigger that love inside of us is between a husband and a wife. For example, when in Surah Ar-Rum he says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةَ وَرَحْمَةً, and then he says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لِآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, that this love, this placement of love and mercy between a husband and a wife, are in it, there are signs for the Ahl Fikr, for those who think about Allah, for those who ponder, who do contemplation, who do tatabbur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that this idea that this asli love, this actual love between a husband and a wife, has to be based on nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as that love increases, the tasbih, the invocation, the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equally increases. So as we look around the world and as we look inside the glorious book of the Quran, and we understand that there exists very open signs praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should automatically increase the love that we have for this immaculate creator of ours. And not only are we to make that connection between us and ourselves, but also we are to make that connection between us and others. As Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam explains to us in his book Misbah al-Sharia, in the very first page of that book, where he says the essence of bondage, the essence of servitude, the essence of ubudiyat, so when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based on four different concepts. Number one is based on the relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is the relationship between you and yourself. Number three, you and the dunya. And number four, you and the nas, the men and the individuals around you. But ultimately, every other avenue should take you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the essence of Tawheed. The essence of Tawheed is not some ideology to simply believe in. It's not some noun, in fact. We say it's a verb. It requires action. And that action is to take every dimension of our life and place it on the same path pointing towards that one creator. So whether it's between me and the dunya, that should have the essence of tawheed in it. Whether it's me and, let's say, my wife or my family or my siblings or my parents or the other individuals in our community, that equally should have an essence of tawheed in it. Or whether it's the idea that me and myself, our actions, our niyat, everything that we do, our obligations, even when it comes to those types of ibadat that are not ma'aruf shodeh, that are not known in our books to be quote-unquote ibadat, for example, salat and psalm and khums and zakat, these are known ibadat. But when it comes to the idea of you, let's say, going to your work for 9 hours a day, if that niyat is correct, that equally becomes ibadat. That's why our Holy Prophet is advising Abu Dharr by saying to attach a niyat to everything that you do. Hatta even sleeping or walking. So ultimately everything that you do becomes fi sabilillah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the highest awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that take the five classifications of the amal, be it wajib, haram, mustahab, makruh, and mubah, and reduce it down to simply two, mustahab or wajib. Even those mubah things, even those common, ordinary, everyday things become for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you attach the appropriate niyat to it. And all of this, as I mentioned, is glorified inside of us when we see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's the signs within the nafs of our existence, whether it's the signs within the ufuk of the horizon inside of us. One small story to understand this. There was a young man who was playing inside a small village. A man arrived on his horse in that village and stopped off at the local coffee house or tea house, tied his horse to the tree, went inside to grab a cup of tea, came outside and saw the horse was gone. He looked around very, very frantic and panic, and he saw this young boy out in the distance. He calls the young boy over. He says, "Have you seen my horse?" He says, "That horse that's blind in one eye." And the man says, "Yes, yes, that's him." He says, "The horse that's carrying grains on his back." He says, "Yes, yes, that's him." He says, "The horse that's limping on one leg." He says, "Yes, that's him." He says, "I haven't seen him." The man grabs the young boy and takes him to the local judge and says, "Your Honor, this young boy has stolen my horse." And the young boy is asked to explain himself. The young boy says, "Your Honor, it's very simple. I saw footprints in the sand of a horse. One footprint was deeper than the other, so I knew it had a limp. And every time there was a limp, there was a small grain behind that limp. So I knew every time it limped, the grain would fall from the back of the horse. Where there was an area where horses eat hay and grass, one side of that horse, one side of that grass and that hay was eaten, the other side was not. So I knew it was blind in one eye. This individual asked me whether or not I have seen his horse. I haven't seen his horse, but everything around me tells me that it very much exists. Equally, if someone was to ask us, have we seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But everything around us, from the sun to the moon, to the stars, to ourselves, screams to us the idea that Allah very much exists. But it's important for us to understand that many a times we ask ourselves that why can't Allah be seen? And while there are many different philosophies behind this idea, one small appreciation from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and try to understand this idea. He says very simply that if you want to be able to see Allah, you're limiting Allah. You're making Him mahdood. Because ultimately when you see an existence, when you see an entity, it is enclosed in a certain time and a certain space. While it exists in front of your eyes, it doesn't exist, let's say, to the left of you or to the right of you or behind you, etc. So by asking Allah if whether or not we can see them with these naked, limited eyes, we're actually limiting Allah's existence to a certain time and a space. And we know that I personally do not want to believe in Allah who is limited and who is mahdood to a certain time and space, but rather I want to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is everywhere and anywhere, and who is la mahdood. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.